October the 22nd, Dr. Duncan speaking.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why we utter the Amen through him to the glory of God. Hearts in prayer. Almighty Father, maker of heaven and of earth, we lift up our voices to thee in praise and adoration of thy creative power. We praise thee too for thy mighty and beneficent powers that serve and maintain us. We thank thee for the love that has lain about us from our birth. But chiefly we bless thee for our redemption in Jesus Christ and thy promise to preserve us thine, both now and eternally. Gracious God, visit in thy tender concern those of thy children who are in sickness and pain, all who are distressed in mind or harassed and straitened in circumstance, and especially all such who may be a part of this seminary family. Be with them in every trial to comfort, to heal, and to deliver them. Grant us, O Lord, teachable minds, receptive of thy word and quick to understand it, that being imbued with heavenly wisdom, we may ever rejoice in the truth. And may that truth lead us to embrace the whole world with our concern. Permit us to share thy vision of and thy purpose for mankind. Even as Jesus taught his first disciples, teach us now to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I wonder what could be more anticlimactic than to hear from a mere pope after listening to three Baptist presidents and an executive secretary thrown in. Yet that is what you're going to have to do this morning, and that's the spot on which I am placed. It occurs to me that the thing one is able most appropriately to do after a week such as the last one is to simply say, Amen and Amen. Indeed, such a thought has suggested the theme for the few remarks this morning. For I want us to consider briefly this little word, amen. It is one of those words which we tend to take for granted. We seldom think about what it means or what it signifies. Indeed, I suppose if you were to go to your church next Sunday morning and ask 10 people at random what this little word means or signifies, from 8 or 9 you would get simply puzzled expressions. Yet, we end every prayer with it, and formally, at least, devout laymen were apt to punctuate good sermons with its expression, and maybe sometimes even poor sermons. It has a long, long history. The Hebrews used it. The Hellenistic Jews took it over, transliterated it, and continued to use it. And it is a part of all modern tongues, insofar as I know. It derives from a verb expressing the idea of being firm, true, reliable. As you know very well, it's used many times in the Old Testament. And according to a recent interesting study by Gerhard Aibling, it is in the Old Testament always used with a religious meaning implied. And furthermore, it always stands in corroboration of a statement by another, always standing at the end of that statement. And it also is always spoken in the Old Testament by someone other than the speaker who makes the original statement. Therefore, the one who responds with this amen accepts the speaker's words as true, and indeed as true in God's eyes. This being true in Old Testament usage, it is at first surprising to turn to the New Testament and to find Jesus deviating from that usage which had been normally established. Furthermore, it's interesting to notice that the usage to which Jesus put it was never taken up by anyone else in the New Testament. His usage remains unique. Specifically, he used this word to introduce his own words. It did not stand at the end of his words as a sort of corroboration of them. It was not used by him to corroborate others' words. In the Synoptic Gospels, you will remember, it is invariably amen lego, verily or truly I say. In the fourth gospel, it is repeated, Amen, Amen, Lego. Verily, verily, truly, truly, Amen, Amen, I say. What is the significance, then, of this distinctive usage of Jesus? And what does it say to us about him? Again, following Aibling very closely, it would appear that this usage is Jesus' way of making certain the fact that his statements are understood to be made before God, with God himself the guarantor of what is being said. As God himself, the one who will bring about the truth and the meaning of these words. In other words, Jesus uses the Amen to bring out the fact that the truth and reality of his words is the truth and reality of God. Furthermore, by so using them, Jesus identifies himself fully with his words. He stakes his whole existence upon their truth and reality. In effect, upon the truth and reality of God. The words that follow the Amen in Jesus' statement are not so much words which are being corroborated, but rather their truthfulness arises out of the great certainty which preceded their statement. It is the utter surrender to the reality and purpose of God. Also, Jesus' use of Amen, Amen, gives expression to the fact that Jesus here performs a vicarious act. Quoting Aibling, he does not wait till those he is addressing can decide to say Amen for their own part. He is not dependent upon such corroboration on the hearer's side. He is even able to impart, along with his words also, the assuring power which flows from the assurance in which he himself is one with these words. The obedience in which that certainty consists has vicarious power in this, that it becomes the source from which certainty flows. That is, it is the origin of a testimony which awakens faith. That is, a testimony which gives certainty not only in this respect or in that, but in toto. And that means which gives certainty to existence itself, makes it a believing existence, provides it with the ground on which it can depend. Jesus' use of Amen is the most concentrated way of saying that all that he says and does, that indeed he himself has no other aim than to awaken Ha-Amin. Faith, trust. Thus Jesus is seen as the one who both communicates faith and is the source of faith. It is no wonder then that Paul could say that all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why, he says, we utter the Amen through him to the glory of God. Nor should we marvel at the words of the Apocalypse, which make the Amen one of the titles of Christ as the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. He is indeed the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Amen and the Amen. May we join now in singing the hymn number 151.
For this cause we bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Spirit, world without end.